Come on up.
John, you want to sit way up there? You like to sit? Just a small group.
Well, this is a big crowd for us, Fred. What are you talking about? Yeah, come on up.
You're waiting back.
Yeah.
Standing brought this, it's like a good thing.
No.
Wait, George, how's that gonna do with the, you can't, you gotta come up here.
Can't move forward?
You gotta come back up here.
All right.
Just stand, because the speakers, you get in front of the speakers.
Oh, okay.
It'll ruin you. Bless you.
Freddie, what do you want us to do, Fred? We need to build a stairwell. Hi, Joanne.
John, I'm sorry.
Huh?
Before we build the stairwell, before you bring the word, let's bless the children. Come on, over 50.
Okay. Lord bless you. Jesus said your angels always stand before his face. Wow. And we bless you today to hear the word of the Lord. Be blessed by him.
Reference to a stairwell, thinking back to the days of Point Loma. Hi, Joanne. We used to sit, some of the, those of you who are thinking, what in the world is that about? We used to, there'd be so many people there. I always thought the best seat was the stairwell. And you could just sit there and listen to the word and... Yeah, at the Ludwig's house. Every church needs a little stairwell for people to sit in. Okay. I'm glad the all the prayer requests and all the prayer this morning, because that was the word that I like to share, is about prayer and how God answers prayer. I'm sorry, I said I wasn't going to do this, but I can never... Oh, well. If we could look at Luke, verse 1, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1, and it's, thank you, and it is starting in verse 5. How does God answer our prayers? Well, a lot of times it's directly. A lot of times it's in ways that we're not aware of, that we don't even know. And a lot of times he uses us to answer someone's prayer. Let's see. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of that one guy. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it appeared that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition or your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." And you'll give him the name John. And he says, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many. This was the same John that would later be beheaded. And I think we have to see that this is how God saw him. Zacharias could say, well, this was a fulfillment, but it wasn't supposed to end up this way. I don't know, there's something about the fulfillment of the prayers that we give to God that he brings an answer, and sometimes it's beyond what we think it should be. Here he is filled in the womb with the Holy Spirit. And yet later on in life, he's beheaded. But Lord, he was the fulfillment of our prayer, of our petition. And yet God sees things so much differently than we see them. John was to be a forerunner. He was to be a fulfillment of the prayer. But it was going to be in God's terms and the way God saw it. Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him and said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And in Luke 2, and we'll start with verse 21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Continuing in verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The word doesn't tell us how it was revealed to Simeon, how the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. It's almost like not an afterthought, but it's just in passing. Oh, the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, that he would see God's anointed before he died. And it says he came into this in the Spirit into the temple. Here's someone who's looking for, praying for, one thing, just to see the redemption of Israel. Just to see the fulfillment of all these prayers. The Holy Spirit had revealed it to him, and he set his heart to see it. He didn't know when it was going to happen, but he knew if I just keep going, it's going to show up. The answer to my prayer is going to show up. I don't know when. It might be tomorrow. It might be the next day. There was an anticipation in his heart to always be looking for it. He finally sees it. He sees the Lord, and what does he say? Now, God, you can take me. I don't need anything else. I don't need what to wait until he grows up. I've seen the fulfillment of your word. Now you can take me. One thing I like about the men and the women of the Bible is Simeon didn't feel compelled to write a book, My Years of Waiting on the Lord. You know, by Simeon, high priest. Just read this book about me waiting on the Lord to see his fulfillment. No, it was nothing like that. Walking on the Water with Jesus by Peter. No, it's not, you know, Days of Thunder by John and James. There was nothing there. And with Simeon's case, it wasn't that he could write a book and say, here are the answers. The answers was the one he was holding in his arms. And to him, that was enough. God, you answered my prayer. You did it. A lot of times we pray and we think that now we have to work it out. But nothing Simeon could do would bring Christ on the earth. We pray, and I know we're to be persistent and we're to have faith in our prayers. But there comes a time when there's nothing we can do. We offer up for prayer, and by faith, James says, you ask with faith. Jeff was bringing that out this morning, by faith. And God brings it to pass. For after all, the Father says, before you call me, I know what you need. I have the answer before you call. Isn't prayer just a fulfillment of what God's desire is? We can ask God for many things. Ask what you will and it shall be granted you. But when we pray according to the heart of God for his fulfillment, that's the prayers that we're really looking for. That's the prayers that we really want to see fulfilled. The prophetess Anna, she began to continue and speak about the great and glorious things of Christ, speaking to those who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's look at Acts 8. We've seen where you can pray and God answers your prayer. He may bring an angel. He may move sovereignly on his own to bring an answer to your prayer. And yet I was reading the word and I was thinking about answers to prayer. How does God answer prayer? And show me he uses us to answer each one another's prayers. That we need to be open. And a lot of times we don't understand it and we don't know, well, how can I be an answer to prayer? A lot of times it's just by walking with God, being who you are, being where you are needed at the moment. Being yourself. And those of you who can remember, we're used to, or we have heard things in the past that, oh yeah, he's a real Timothy ministry. He's a real Joshua ministry. A real David's Mighty Men ministry. No, he's not. He's a real Jeff ministry. We tend to put other names on each other instead of accepting people for who they are. Instead of saying, yeah, you're really like this ministry. No, you're really like who you are. And it's God that is going to use you to be an answer to people's prayers. In Acts 8, and we'll start with verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. So he went up. So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate to this generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The Enoch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Well, Philip's moving along. Everything's going pretty well. He's moving with the other disciples, the apostles, and the Spirit says, "Well, I need you over here. You go down over here." Okay, I'll go down over there. He comes up to the Ethiopian. He doesn't know what he's reading. He needs better instruction, guidance. And Philip's there as an answer to prayer. He leads the man to Christ. Who knows what he opens to in Ethiopia? I don't know. I'm sure somebody did a study of that and perhaps wrote a book about it. But who knows what happened, because Philip put himself in a position to be obedient to go where the Spirit led him. He doesn't even have time to glory in it. He baptizes him, he comes out, and the Spirit takes him and puts him somewhere else. He becomes an answer to a man who's searching. He has an answer to his prayer. No glory in it for himself. He just shares it. That man's need is met. For after all, isn't that what we're here for? God answers our needs, not only through himself, but he uses us to meet the needs in one another. That we be open to be led by his Spirit so that he may move through us. Let's look at chapter 9 in the book of Acts. And we'll start at verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. There's a man praying, and I need to answer his prayer. I've chosen you to go and do it. What a wonderful, wonderful ministry. Are you sure, Lord? Ananias says, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight and got up and was baptized. He took food and was strengthened. Ananias goes from a little bit of wariness, which is okay. You want me to go pray for this guy who's been killing us, persecuting you? Okay. I'll do it. Are you sure, Lord? Because let me remind you who this guy is. You know, maybe you have forgotten. No, I haven't forgotten. I see him who he is. I see him who I've called him to be. Ananias goes to him, and now he calls him Brother Saul. There's a whole new, different way of relating. He's no longer Saul the persecutor, Saul the murderer. He's Brother Saul. One of the most humbling experiences is when someone can turn to you and says, Boy, you were an answer to prayer. I was? I didn't know that. God leads us in ways where we think back and we say, Well, should I move here? Should I go over here? Should I take this job? Shouldn't I take this job? And God seems to arrange things. And he moves us into situations where maybe we just think it's a lucky break. I got a new job. It's a lucky break for me. No, God was arranging things. I love how God arranges things. I'm going to meet Saul. I'm going to blind him. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to arrange for another brother to come and pray for him. You're going to see, Simeon, you're going to see my redemption. The Holy Spirit has taught him. I'm going to arrange it for you. God has a way of arranging things that are sometimes beyond what our great expectations are. We think, look how great God has blessed me. He's given me a new job, a new position. And yet he's moved us in there for one reason. There's someone there for us to minister to or to bless. We don't know. There might be someone there who's been praying, who needs an answer. So God moves you into that position. Without the cross, none of us would be saved. But without the cross, the thief who was hanging on his right wouldn't have had any hope. Sometimes God does things that we don't understand, and yet he's positioning us to be an answer to people's prayers. I know, Shelley, that you've been an answer to a lot of people there. You've been able to minister to a lot of people where you're living. And it's a terrible, tragic thing, the circumstances that led you there. I don't know. But it's God's grace. The word says, doesn't say by his power you are healed. The word says by his stripes we are healed. God arranges and moves and makes things happen according to his will that we at times don't understand. I remember when I heard that Jerry was with our first child. She was with child. I went home and prayed for a daughter. He answered beyond my wildest dreams. There was a time when Jerry and I were going through a difficult time in our life. And we prayed, and Sean came along. What an answer to prayer. At times, it's not so much what God can give me, but it's who he gives me. It doesn't matter if that person does anything else. The baby Jesus that he's holding in his arms doesn't have to do a thing. Yet he embraces the fulfillment of that prayer. It's not what people can do for us. It's just that they're there for us. Does that make sense? God can move, and he makes arrangements, and we make connections with one another. And a lot of times we're unaware of how we've met someone's need. But God can move through us. Let's look at Acts 10, and then we'll be finished here. I won't read the whole thing here, but it's about Peter and Cornelius. And Cornelius, it says he was a devout man who feared God. This is verse 2. And he prayed to God continually. An angel of God in verse 3 says, had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And he said, what is it, Lord? He goes, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. Well, at that time, Peter is up on the housetop. He's waiting for him to fix him his dinner, and he's praying, and the Lord comes to him and gives him a vision. He makes arrangements again, and he comes and he has to get rid of some of Peter's biases about what's clean and unclean. And he gives him a vision and he tells him to go to, he says, I'm sending someone and there's going to be a knock on your door. Answer him and go with those guys. And what do you know? There's a knock on the door. And we're here. We were told to come and get you. He says, and on the next day, he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren, this is verse 20, right before 24, which would be 23, and from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, he entered the city. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. There is no glory in it for yourself. When God uses you, there is no taking the glory for yourself. And as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled, and he tells him the story. And it says, while Peter was down in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking the words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. You have two people praying. God moves upon one to send people to go get Peter. You have Peter praying. And God says, I'm going to use you as an answer. What I pray is that we let God use you to be an answer to someone's prayer. Lord, use us. And sometimes it comes in ways we can't figure out, in ways that we may not have planned, but we need to be open to one another and to His Spirit, especially to the moving of His Spirit. No matter how simple or how small it may be, but to move and let Him lead us. We'll be surprised the answer to people's prayers. There's people out there praying. They're looking for something. They're looking for the Lord. They're looking for something that's outside of themselves. And God's going to use us to answer those prayers. Amen. Lord bless us. Stand.